This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Efforts to protect the blufflands around La Crosse and Winona, Minnesota have been going on for decades, but around 5 years ago, a plan to create a more coordinated bluffland protection program started among local government officials and organizations for recreation and conservation. The Blufflands Coalition released a master plan 2 summers ago. Joining us now to talk about what progress has been made in preserving the bluffs and what's next are Charlie Handy, La Crosse County Planner, Carol Abrahamson, Executive Director of the Mississippi Valley Conservancy, and Dan Wick, Director of the Parks and Recreation Department for the City of Onalaska. So as I mentioned, 2 summers ago, we had people in here to talk about the Blufflands Coalition recently released master plan. And Charlie, I wonder if you can kind of remind us about, what that master plan entails and kind of what is the plan to, create a more united bluffland protection program?
So cooperation is the big part of the plan, and we've been meeting now for about 4 years as a Bluffland Coalition, loosely formed at this point. We're working on formalizing that with a memorandum of understanding, and the plan is really to work together to leverage those resources that are out there. And so the more we work together, I think the more resources are available to us in the form of grants and other type of programs to help us to do preservation and also recreational programming in the Blufflands.
Why is having that memorandum important?
Well, a formal agreement is necessary for the grant applications. So the agency or entity that is issuing the grant knows that we're formally working together, that there's been a policy debate about working together, and that's been approved and authorized. So the other important part of it is, governing ourselves. So we operate under some sort of a formal process for voting and setting priorities. That way, everything that we do has that credibility.
Carol, can you talk a little bit about, the end goal or the end experience that this group is kind of hoping to create in the Blufflands in this area?
Well, part of the plan is to make sure that we are being strategic about the properties that we are protecting and that those hold value to all of the user groups. So we want them, they'll be open to the public. We want them to be useful to all of the folks who want that connective trail across the Blufflands, but also protecting the important habitat and the conservation values that are unique to the Blufflands.
And obviously, there's a number of local governments, municipalities involved, as well as the county. Dan, I wonder from your perspective, why is this something that the City of Onalaska, wanted to be a part of and maybe other local, city or town governments wanted to be a part of?
I think it's the cooperation of everybody in the region. We want to be labeled as the Blufflands. We want to make this a tourist destination. We have a lot of people come into the area for a lot of different things. But I think with the natural resources that we have in such a very close proximity to each other, it just gives us more opportunity to work together. And it goes back to Charlie's comments about cooperation. How can we work together from a marketing standpoint to labeling of trails and things? I think it's critical for the people and the users that want to come to this area. We're fortunate enough to live here, but there's a lot of people that do come here to visit and to give them and show them these opportunities we have.
When we talked 2 years ago, Charlie, you estimated that about 3,000 acres of blufflands were protected in La Crosse County. I wonder if that number has changed at all in the last 2 years.
It has definitely changed, but not specifically in the blufflands as we've defined it in the plan. There's definitely conservation going on all around us, and the MVC shows real success in that. We're working towards a couple of very important properties right now as a coalition, but those haven't been completed yet.
Can you go into a little bit more detail about what those are?
They would be properties that are really close to our urban areas. The landowners have asked for privacy at this point. So as we work towards that, that will become public when those deals are kind of done. But they are high priority areas that are shown in the plan as the number one priority, and they should provide some real nice connections for that trail in the Blufflands.
Yeah, I wonder if you could go into a little bit more detail about why they are high priority lands. I wonder if it has to do with this La Crosse Blufflands Trail that I know was kind of the, you know, first project the coalition was hoping to tackle.
Sure. So you spoke of the 3,000 acres, which we already have, which is great. However, they're kind of fragmented as far as pieces go. And so what we're trying to do is fill in those blanks in between so that that trail can go all the way from the south end of the county, which is Goose Island, and all the way to the north end of the county up by Drugan's Golf Course. And most of the trail would be natural trail, multi-purpose trail, multi-use trail within the Blufflands.
Dan, obviously the trail would, you know, go through the city of Onalaska's properties, I imagine. I mean, as they stand right now, do you see those kind of connectivity issues of people being able to get from one recreational area to another?
Yeah, I mean, you can see that right now. You know, we have our Greens Coulee Bluffland Trail system that we have now, but it is fragmented. You know, they can't get over to the other parts of our trail system. So, yes, you know, we are working on that all the time, trying to figure out how we can connect to other bluff lands when lands become available and things of that nature. So yes, you know, we would love to be able to get, you know, more people into nature and giving them those opportunities.
I wonder if you could talk about how, you know, creating a kind of more connected experience is also important for drawing people into the region and from a tourism standpoint. I imagine there's an attraction there to being able to, you know, experience a longer piece of trail.
And I think it's, you know, people don't want to necessarily, you know, hike up a trail and back a trail. And if you can create loops or different systems like that, people are more likely to come in, you know, where they can start at a point, hike for a certain distance, maybe grab some lunch, get on another trail and you know, end up back where they started. So I think that's critical as we look at that. But I think from a tourism, a destination standpoint, I think, you know, if you look at Duluth, Minnesota, you know, Bentonville, Arkansas, you know, what they're doing in these areas to try to get off street or trails, natural, their community is booming because of this. And so I think we want to try to look at those models and find out how it can help us in the Coulee region.
So Charlie, you know, where is the coalition at in completing this La Crosse Blufflands Trail? You know, you mentioned you're working on two specific pieces. Are those the last pieces of the puzzle, or are there still more to work on?
So to give you an idea, we have 3,000 acres currently. The two that we're working on would be potentially 100 acres each, so another 200 acres. And the plan looks at an eventual total of 6,000 to 7,000. So halfway there, and if we get these two, a little bit more than halfway there. So this is a marathon. It's going to take us 20 to 25 years to get where we want to go.
Carol, I wonder if you could talk about why this is not a project, you know, creating this Blufflands program, why this is not a project for the short term?
Well, for starters, we need to wait until there's an opportunity to make a purchase. So we aren't knocking on landowner doors and asking them to sell their land. But as land comes up for sale, then the coalition is looking at that as an opportunity. And then we have to create partnerships so that we have funding availability. And all of that takes time. And we do see this as a marathon, but we also see it as a very achievable goal that will provide economic value to this area in the tourism, and it will provide conservation value to the plants and the animals that rely on the Blufflands in the Driftless area for their homes and their food.
Why isn't the coalition approaching landowners? You mentioned that you're waiting for land to come up for sale rather than kind of knocking on doors, but you know, I wonder why the coalition is taking that approach.
We don't want folks to be concerned that all of a sudden their land is going to be targeted for sale. We want people to be ready and voluntarily cooperative in selling their land to the coalition or to the entities that may be in the coalition.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're getting an update on a regional effort to preserve blufflands on both sides of the Mississippi River. We're here with Carol Abrahamson from the Mississippi Valley Conservancy, Charlie Handy from the La Crosse County Planning Department, and Dan Wick from the City of Onalaska Parks and Recreation Department. As Charlie mentioned, you know, a lot of this process has been working with private landowners and kind of looking at acquiring those lands or putting them into land trusts. And Carol, I wonder if you could talk about, you know, obviously the Conservancy has done a lot of work in this area. You know, what that process kind of looks like to work with a private landowner and, you know, what are the kind of constraints or the requirements on those lands?
So when we work with private landowners and they've approached us, the first thing we're going to do is a site visit so we can learn about their land, about their property, what is special about it, what is unique about it, what are the conservation values on it. And then internally we have a lengthy process. So the property is evaluated. It goes to our land protection committee where they vet the property. If they decide that this is a project we should continue to work on, they make that recommendation to our full board, which also vets the project and then directs staff as to whether or not we'll continue to work on that project. Once that process has been completed, then we'll work closely with the landowner to learn what it is that they want to do as far as the protection of their land goes. What's meaningful to them? What do they want to have happen or not happen on their land? And then we put together that conservation easement or the management plan for the land if we're acquiring it.
Charlie, is it important who is the kind of final owner of the lands that are part of these projects?
I think the importance is really in that strategic planning that Carol talked about earlier. So we will look at the site, we look at the land, and decide if recreation is priority, or if conservation preservation is priority, or if even something like a management plan to minimize invasive species on the property, maybe do some education on the property. And so each of those uses would have kind of a direction, would give us kind of direction as to who should be the potential owner, because that also then gives us direction to what resources we're going to be looking at as far as grants and local funding. So that local funding is really an important part of the decision of who should be the final owner. We've learned from a few mistakes in the past about that exact issue, and hopefully that'll educate our process in the future for planning this strategically.
I wonder if you could go into more detail about, you know, what some of those challenges that you faced in the past and how that's kind of influencing your future.
So when you purchase a conservation easement, there are some very important conditions that get placed on it. And many of those are specific to the grant application and the funding for that process. And one thing we've learned over the years, when you spend the public's dollars or you get a grant from the public, there's some very specific uses that grant is trying to get to happen on that property or not, or protection. And so if you use the wrong grant and then later try to do a different use, there's just a lot of issues that come up with that. And so the goal here is use the coalition to help direct that in the future and make sure that we're not using a grant for a use that the grant doesn't like. And so, you know, that's just a, you know, fairly easy strategy session to sit down and figure that out. But I think that's very important.
Carol, I know that MVC has faced similar challenges and is currently kind of in conversations about a specific piece of land in Hickson Forest, I believe, on this exact issue of kind of the use of that land. Is that a downside maybe to some of this grant funding that it is so specific?
Well, there are actually pots of money available. And so it really is all about, as Charlie said, assessing what you want to have happen with that land. If it's great recreational land and there should be multi-use trails on it, then you want to look at the right pot of money to apply for through the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund. If it's something that has high conservation value, then that is typically what we at Mississippi Valley Conservancy would apply for. So it's being strategic, it's being thoughtful, it's looking at the long-range plan and making sure that you're applying for the right pot of money. And then who is your partner? Because that money that's available through the Department of Natural Resources usually covers 50% of the purchase price. So you have to look at who else can help you to cover the other 50%. And funding is, you know, it's ever important. It's necessary. It can be difficult, but there are ways to go about it and that are thoughtful and that are strategic, and the end result is wonderful.
Dan, what goes into creating some of these long-term plans for these areas? I'm sure it's difficult to always anticipate what kind of the future needs or wants will be for a piece of property.
I think it's a collaboration, starting with if it's our park board, as made up of residents of the community. We survey residents, when we're acquiring lands or doing that. But then it's also by having the Blufflands Coalition, a collaboration of getting outside resources, working with the county, working with MVC, working with other agencies that are involved with this, to try to vet that process. Yes, we can't always see, that crystal ball isn't always very clear, but we can get a plan and we can have that and look at it and use our partners that we have to be able to try to give the best opportunities we have. We also try to find things that, it's not every park is the same thing or something. So what are some unique features that this may have and how can we get, to the community to it or, what are the best uses for it?
I know that the coalition have hosted a number of public meetings over the past couple years and, opportunities to provide input. And, Dan, I wonder what your thoughts are on how the public has provided their input on this plan for the future.
I think we've had very good public opinion on it. It's always sometimes a split between, what do we want? And I think that's why having the partners, having the collaboration here to look at that. There is a lot of land to make this all work. There's going to be giving and taking at all times. So I think, the more that we get the public involved to help, it may not be the exact thing that you want in any given area, but I think if you overall get a plan like this in place and start working towards those goals, it's going to be a huge asset to our area, not for each individual community, but for the entire county.
Charlie, is it also a downside to have so many different voices kind of involved in this Blufflands, right? They touch a lot of, different municipalities and other organizations. Can that sometimes slow down the process, I wonder?
Well, I think any time that the public is involved, the process changes. But the downsides are heavily outweighed by the positives. When you get people involved, when they're excited about it, as we see with this, the passion involved here is something that I don't see every day. I see a lot of apathy and a lot of people that are really busy with their lives and not interested in certain things. This is not the case here. The Blufflands, there is so much interest and so much passion, which is a wonderful thing. It really brings a lot of commentary. It brings a lot of different perspectives. And what that does is it just gives us a much better product. I think long-term, the product is going to be so much better because of the amount of input that we have. And yeah, it does take a little bit more time to plan. It takes a little bit more time to go through that process. But in the long run, when you're talking a 25-year plan, that's the only way to do it, right? And so we're just really happy to get that amount of passion and interest.
Carol, what do you think drives that passion, that public passion and interest in these projects?
Well, we know that everybody has their own priority for the land. So maybe you're a bird watcher. You're going to be passionate about some bird habitat. Perhaps you're a biker. You're going to be passionate about making that connecting trail across the bluffs. Perhaps you're a hiker and you would prefer that there be some quieter places for you to hike. Maybe you're interested in clean water. Well, how does the work we're doing affect clean water? So everybody has their own individual passion, and those are that is the reason why we need the public input, because this is for the people. And this is for the future generations. The work we do at Mississippi Valley Conservancy is forever, and we want to make sure that we do it right. We want to make sure that we have people on board who will support it and who will take care of it.
Carol Abrahamson is Executive Director of the Mississippi Valley Conservancy. She's here with us today to talk about the progress of the Blufflands Coalition, what they've been working on since they released a master plan 2 summers ago, and what's next for the group. Also joining us are Charlie Handy from the La Crosse County Planning Department and Dan Wick from the City of Onalaska Parks and Recreation Department. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. So, Charlie, you mentioned you're about halfway through this Blufflands Trail project. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, you know, where the funding has come from so far on acquiring these pieces of land.
So at this point, we have funding from 4 municipalities in La Crosse County, and then we've applied for a number of different grants for the projects that we're talking about doing very soon. We don't have any responses on those grants yet, but we hope to very soon. August and September are actually a couple of dates for announcements, so we hope to see some soon. Potentially, we'll find funding from more municipalities this fall. We'll be going around and asking for them to put that in their budgets. We get a significant amount of assistance from our agencies that are involved. So Mississippi Valley Conservancy, the Outdoor Recreation Alliance, the Friends of the Blufflands, they all bring us a significant amount of staff and technical assistance. They all have their expertise, which really helps us. We don't have to hire professionals. We have the professionals that are volunteering their time, so that's wonderful. So that's really where the funding comes from at this point. At this point, it's not a very expensive venture. Our Bluffland coordinator is part-time, and so his salary and fringe and the office space rental is all taken care of in that fairly meager budget. And as we move forward, potentially that budget could grow a little, but it's not going to grow significantly. It's really that grant match that we're going to be looking for. So we'll see as we move forward, but I think hopefully we can prove to the entities that are involved in the Bluffland Coalition the value of it.
We've seen La Crosse County is now considering raising property taxes or even introducing a wheel tax to raise road funding. I know the City of La Crosse is also looking at new ways to raise road funding and, you know, has used up a lot of excess funds on road funding. And I just wonder, in light of these other issues that local governments are facing when it comes to funding, how do we find the funds to go towards a project like Bluffland Protection?
I guess the only really good way to respond to that is how do we not? For this area being as unique as we are, we have so much public input that these bluffs are important. We have so many people from the public that use these areas that are already preserved and are already improved. And these areas that we currently have are almost to a point of being overused, just because there's so much demand for it. And so, yeah, our roads need funding because there's demand for that. But I think at the same time, these areas need funding too because there is demand for it. And I wouldn't want to be in the position of our policymakers because they have so many balancing priorities that they have to do. But our job as staff for this coalition is to really show them that there's a demand here and that there's a value to it. And Dan talked about the tourism value, and we can talk about the economic development value where companies can receive, you know, better employees because they want to come here and live here, the quality of life, the uniqueness, things like that. But that's our job to kind of prove that to them. And I think once we do that, I think it should be a pretty easy decision from a priority standpoint, because the value is there, just like the value of the roads.
Yeah, Dan, I wonder how you approach these conversations as, you know, the Parks and Recreation Department director. You know, when going to the city, asking for money to contribute to these projects, I mean, how do you make that argument?
You know, we try to show the value. And show, you know, we're trying to make the community, the area, better than it was yesterday, and to try to show that and put that forward. And so, you know, with the collaboration, the public input that we've received, we continue to take that message and move forward. And again, the policymakers have to make decisions, and you know, it's our job to put the facts in front of them, that we have collected, and let them make their decisions.
Dan Wick, Director of the Parks and Recreation Department for the City of Onalaska, is here with us today to talk about the Blufflands Coalition, a group of local governments and organizations for conservation and recreation that are working together to preserve and enhance the bluffs on both sides of the Mississippi River. Also joining us are Charlie Handy from the La Crosse County Planning Department and Carol Abrahamson from the Mississippi Valley Conservancy. Coming up, we'll hear more about what the coalition has been working on and what's next in their efforts to unite the region's blufflands. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. During the summer of 2016, the Blufflands Coalition released a master plan for preserving and enhancing the region's bluffs. Made up of local governments and nonprofit organizations, the group hoped to take a more coordinated approach to conservation and recreation in the bluffs for the visitors and residents of the Driftless area. Our 2016 Newsmakers intern, Matthew Clark, met up with one user of the Blufflands to hear more about why they're an important resource.
Robbie Young has a passion for bike riding.
I've been riding since I was 15 or 16 years old. I picked up a copy of Bike magazine at my orthodontist's office, and I saw the rad pictures, and I said, I need to go see what that's all about.
Young has been riding up and down the La Crosse area blufflands for over a decade and says he enjoys being able to cover so much ground.
You can only go so far walking into the woods, but on a bike you can go see 20 miles of the surrounding terrain.
The La Crosse area has long been known for its natural features, bringing people from around the country to enjoy fishing, hiking, and other outdoor activities. But it's been over a century since Hickson Forest was established and over 40 years since the Bicentennial Trail was created. Now, the La Crosse Area Planning Committee is trying to bring the entire La Crosse-La Crescent region together so that all the bluffs can be protected and connected by a shared-use trail. Young hopes the system would create new interest from people in the community because the current outdoor offerings are being overlooked.
For every person I meet out on the trails, I probably run into half a dozen more who are in the area and have never been out here. So I try to go check it out.
Young says the protection plan may also help change the stereotype that some people from outside of the area have about the region.
I meet so many people who still think of the Midwest as flyover country, as flatland, and as soon as they come into La Crosse, when they drop into that Mississippi River Valley, they go, I had no idea.
Young also says although the La Crosse area has already done work to protect the region, it would be a missed opportunity if the plan doesn't come together.
Is it enough that we already have? Maybe, but it can be so much better. And I think sometimes we could sell ourselves short if we don't make the most of what we have.
The organization is also looking for reliable sources of funding to support acquired land, restoration, and maintenance. For Wisconsin Public Radio, I'm Matthew Clark.
2 years later, the Blufflands Coalition is still working to create a more formal approach to carrying out their Blufflands Master Plan. The group has had its share of roadblocks and challenges. Joining us now to talk about the group's progress over the last 2 years and what's next are Charlie Handy, La Crosse County Planner, Carol Abrahamson, Executive Director of the Mississippi Valley Conservancy, and Dan Wick, Director of the Parks and Recreation Department for the City of Onalaska. So, Charlie, what have been the biggest accomplishments over the last 2 years or even 5 years that the group has been meeting?
Well, I think the success in having some municipalities actually fund the project. We've hired a coordinator, so we have a staff person doing work in the Blufflands. But probably the biggest success is the drafting and approval of the Memorandum of Understanding. That formalized process will really help to give credibility to this organization and help us to have a chance to really prove the value of this work.
And Charlie, we've been talking a lot about the Wisconsin side of things, but I wonder if you could just briefly describe the Minnesota side of the equation. You know, I know that there are also, you know, municipalities and lands that are involved on the Minnesota side.
Yeah, Minnesota has a significant amount of success. They have the Minnesota Land Trust over there, which is doing really good things. We have members of Winona County that are coming to the coalition meetings regularly, and that information that they bring is invaluable to us over here to learn some of the ways that they are protecting their Blufflands and to help us to understand that. As a group, we're really focusing on the Wisconsin side right now. Those are the highest priorities that we've set, but that's going to change. And there's going to be work that's going to be done in Minnesota as we move forward. So if you can kind of read between those lines of today's conversations, there are challenges, specifically at the borders, where you're trying to connect things together. When you're walking on a trail, you don't care what municipality you're in. But when you're looking at funding, it's very important which municipality you're in. So I think the coalition can bring a lot of value, even in Minnesota, for those areas where there are borders.
Yeah, Carol, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, how Wisconsin and Minnesota compare when it comes to, looking at preserving these lands.
Well, when it comes to preserving lands, it's very similar. We both have priority areas in which we work, and we both have limitations to the funding, which limits the work that we can do. But there are some stark differences. In Minnesota, we actually voted a number of years ago to tax ourselves. I live in Minnesota. And that tax money is collected for the Minnesota Land Trust to use to conserve land in Minnesota. So that's a huge boost, the funds that are available to them. Their model also is a statewide model. So there is one major land trust in Minnesota that works across the whole state. And they set priority areas that they work in year after year so that they can cover the whole state. Wisconsin's model is different. We have approximately 50 land trusts in Wisconsin, but some of them are very, very small, perhaps even attending to just one property. Others are large. There are two land trusts in northern Wisconsin that recently merged, and they now cover 20 counties. Mississippi Valley Conservancy covers 9 counties, and that's probably a more medium-sized land trust. We do rely a lot on funding from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources through the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Fund, especially for our acquisitions. But the majority of our funding overall for our operating budget comes from our individual members. So we work primarily with private landowners, as does the Minnesota Land Trust, and then the occasional acquisitions. So similarities, but also big differences.
Earlier, you know, I was asking Charlie about how, local government spending priorities, how those that can impact what funding is available for this. And I wonder, on a statewide level, if that is also something that the Conservancy has been, kind of watching and paying attention to as the state kind of weighs where to place its dollars.
Yes, we actually are in the middle of advocating for the extension of the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Fund. A number of years ago, the governor cut that fund completely out of the budget, and many conservation groups came together and lobbied to have it put back in. It came back into the budget at a reduced number, but there is still money available for us to use. And so that's where we're at right now. The sunset clause for that program is in 2020, so we are working right now to make sure that the program continues at least at the rate in which it's funded right now.
In La Crosse County, we see a really high demand for housing right now, and I wonder if kind of the housing market or other land uses, and you know, looking at industrial use of land, how that maybe influences the ability of the Conservancy to acquire these lands.
Well, interestingly enough, development pressure is often what sends a landowner to us. So if they happen to have a property that is sitting right on the edge of a growing municipality and they are concerned, perhaps it was their 120-acre farm, and they know that they're not going to be able to continue to farm it for very many more years, but they also don't want it to turn into a subdivision. They'll give us a call, and we will work together to protect that property. Again, they retain the ownership. We are just looking at holding the development rights. And the same thing has happened in areas where there has been a lot of pressure for frac sand mining. They'll see their neighbors selling their land and these frac sand mines appearing, and they will come to us and ask for our help to protect their land. So that can really drive folks to thinking about the future and the forever protection of the property that they own.
Charlie, I wonder what your perspective on this issue is, looking at pressure from everything from housing development to industrial uses. You know, Carol mentioned sand mining. How has that really influenced this conversation?
Well, I think for people to realize, even in La Crosse County, which seems to be very urbanized, there's a huge percentage of farmland yet in La Crosse County. We have over 190,000 acres of farmland yet in a 300,000 acre county, and that doesn't include the forest land. So there's plenty of space for future development. In our comprehensive plan right now for the county, we have over 100 years of development planned, which again, it really shows that there's not a significant demand on most of our farmland. But that demand is very localized. And as Carol said, if they're adjacent in a buffer area, adjacent to one of our municipalities, that can be a property that's in high demand for development. However, if it's something that's preserved, that demand will just move on to the next location, and hopefully to a location that's planned for development. So that comprehensive plan that we've done has really helped to kind of show where we should be preserving land and where we should be developing. So I think a lot of our policymakers really kind of rely on those comprehensive plans, and they help a ton.
That's Charlie Handy, La Crosse County Planner, here with us today to talk about the progress of the Blufflands Coalition, what progress has been made since they released a master plan 2 summers ago, and what's next for the group. Also joining us are Carol Abrahamson from the Mississippi Valley Conservancy and Dan Wick from the City of Onalaska Parks and Recreation Department. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. As we look to the future, Dan, I wonder what yours and the City of Onalaska's goals are as the coalition kind of, you know, continues on this Blufflands trail and looks to future projects.
Well, I think we look to the Blufflands to help us, you know, acquire more lands potentially within the city to make this trail system, to be able to connect from, you know, Drugan's, as Charlie said earlier, down to the southern end of the county. I think it would help, you know, by doing that, I think the economic impact, the tourism value that is provided with that, along with giving our users and our neighborhoods the opportunity to get out there and walk. Maybe they don't have to, you know, walk to school along the street. Maybe there's a trail system that would connect them from their neighborhood to one of the elementary schools in town. So I think it's just that collaboration to help us and to get it and to be a part of a larger, bigger plan for the region.
I know that in past conversations, there's been a lot of talk about the brand for the Bluffs, right? Like creating a brand that people would recognize. And, you know, I wonder how you see that brand has been developing over the past couple years.
You know, and I look at it as, you know, not trying to take away from any township or city or municipality for the work that's being done there. But it's, you know, for that tourist that comes in. And as Charlie stated earlier, they don't care if they're in, you know, the town of Onalaska, the city of Onalaska, or the town of Madary, they want to know they're on a trail system. So I think that branding is going to be critical, that we can add that to the trail system so that when they're walking, they know that they're on whatever the name of the trail is or what, you know, branch of the trail they're on, that they can continue through that. And then when they get done, they may look at a map and say, wow, we were here, here, and here through that different local units of government, but they don't see a difference. And I think that's really what we want. You know, we want the tourism to come here. We want the tourists to come. We want our users to be able to do that and identify this unified plan throughout the region.
Charlie, what do you feel like are the major goals for the coalition as, you know, they look to the future a few years?
Well, I think once we formally meet and set priorities, you know, that implementation is really going to be important. So strategic planning is important, but there's a point where you've got to start actually doing the work. And so, you know, what a lot of people don't see is the amount of volunteer hours and the amount of work that's already being done, whether that be trail construction or burning a prairie or invasive species management. There's a lot of that already being done. But I think more of that is necessary. And I think what we'll start to see is our users that like to hike, that like to bird watch and things like that, are going to get more and more involved in also the activities like management and support. And they'll see how much fun it is to work with other people that are in the same kind of level of interest. And so that's really kind of a goal is to organize our volunteers to start to show a significant amount of acres that have been maintained, and also then to provide enough trails to meet that demand. That's really the key right now is the trails that we currently have are just starting to get overused. And so if we can provide a little bit more relief on that demand, people really want to do this. And so I think as an organization, we'll probably start to set some specific numeric goals, and then we can start to collect data and see if we're meeting those goals.
Carol, Charlie mentions, you know, invasive species management and some of the other environmental side of things. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the recreational use of these lands, but, you know, I wonder if you could just touch on more of the environmental benefits of, you know, preserving these blufflands in this area.
Yes, as I had mentioned earlier, these bluffs are very important homes, you know, food, shelter, to a lot of wildlife. And some of the areas in the Blufflands, just because this is the Driftless area, are very unique also. And their habitats don't exist readily in other areas. The other thing I wanted to touch on is we have to really look at the future leaders for the Blufflands. And so Mississippi Valley Conservancy regularly takes school children up into the Blufflands to do some of the volunteer management work and get those students into our outdoor classrooms. So we will pit team against team of students and tie tow ropes onto honeysuckle bushes, and we'll have a tugsuckle pole so they can have some fun while they're doing some management work. When they're pulling garlic mustard, we provide bags and scales and we weigh it to see which team again pulled the most garlic mustard. So we have a learning opportunity, a chance to instill a land ethic into these future leaders. We provide them with backpacks that have bug boxes in them so they can put a little bug in there with a, there's a magnifying glass and they can see it up close, bird identification books and binoculars that are available to them. And we have a number of teachers in the area who take their classrooms out several times a year. And we offer that to all of the schools in La Crosse County as a service, as a program of Mississippi Valley Conservancy.
I wonder if those things, I imagine they are important to kind of keeping the momentum behind this project because it's such a long-term goal. You know, I wonder if you could talk on how you keep people interested and always thinking about, you know, this long-term goal of a united kind of bluffland protected area.
Well, I think that just the fact that we're working to build this trail system that goes through from the north to the south is one way that we do keep people engaged. But offering them opportunities to get out onto the land and experience it firsthand. So we've got guided hikes that we offer 16 per year in our 9-county area where we have expert leaders, an educational component in each one of those hikes, an opportunity to see different things in different seasons. You have to have people out on the land, have them engaged, have them build an ownership to it in order to keep a program like this alive. They've got to see that it's beneficial to them as well, of course, as to the plants and animals, and that it's something that they want to use. They want to bring their children and their grandchildren to it. And that's what will support this program going forward.
Carol's mentioned how do you keep public interest in these projects and momentum behind it. But, you know, Charlie, you've touched on the number of volunteer hours that have gone into this project already, and you're in for the long haul. And I just wonder how you keep momentum, you know, among the local officials on working on this project.
Well, we're going to really need the people that are involved to do that. Local officials can get sick of hearing me say it, right? Because they listen to me all the time. But if they have constituents that talk to them and tell them how important it is, the amount of passion that we have with this project really buoys our thoughts because we think those people are, you know, very interested for the long haul. But they also need to tell their policymakers that. And if policymakers hear from the people who are actually using this, they'll have enough convincing that this is a good project. So I think that's the key, is that you know, the general public, the people who use this on a regular basis and love it, just contact their local officials and tell them how much they use it and how much they love it. Because if I say it, it means something, but if they say it, it means something more.
Right. You mentioned earlier in the program that you're working on, you know, collecting people to sign on to a memorandum of understanding at the moment. What happens if you, you know, don't get certain governments and officials to sign on to that memorandum? And there are those gaps in the kind of connectivity of this project. You know, kind of what are the options that this coalition has to move forward?
Well, I think we're at a point right now where we have a very good group, and we have 8 agencies and local municipalities that have agreed to sign the MOU, and that's really a very good start. At this point, then, formalizing it with that MOU and starting to have meetings that have minutes and have a process for voting and things like that, we have enough in those 8 to do that. But it's never going to be enough. There will always be more agencies and more members that we can go and convince that this is a good project and that they can come in and sign up and help us to have that sustainable funding for the long term. How we do that is really to show them the value of it. And so that's going to be a constant job for the coalition, is to show that value.
Carol, I wonder if you can give some context to this group. You know, are there other organizations or other coalitions like this, you know, when it comes to preserving lands along the Mississippi or maybe other important natural resources?
Well, there are. Actually, there are land trusts along the Mississippi that are a part of the Driftless area that have worked together for years. And we were at one time a formal group that was being grant funded called the Blufflands Alliance. So we worked with Iowa Natural Heritage Fund, and we worked with the Minnesota Land Trust. We worked with Joe Davies in Illinois and a number of the land trusts here in Wisconsin along the river. So that happened years ago, and it's nice to see this work continue through the Blufflands Coalition here in our area. I also know that the Minnesota Land Trust up in Duluth has worked with the city of Duluth in those blufflands and those trails, being careful that they conserve areas that have really important habitat, and then also looking at areas where they could run a multi-use trail through so that the recreational users could enjoy that area as well.
Do you think there are any takeaways from that previous alliance that can really inform how the coalition goes about their work now?
I think the biggest takeaway is we're all working toward a common goal. And when we do that, we will be successful, as the Blufflands Alliance was back when they were receiving funding to work together on the bluffs that you see today that have been preserved along the river.
We've been talking with Carol Abrahamson, Executive Director of the Mississippi Valley Conservancy, Charlie Handy, La Crosse County Planner, and Dan Wick, Director of the Parks and Recreation Department for the City of Onalaska. They're here today to talk about the Blufflands Coalition, a group of local governments and organizations for conservation and recreation that are working together to preserve and enhance the bluffs on both sides of the Mississippi River. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.